You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton, bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton welcoming you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we call for a lot of years. Pastor Donna, what have we been calling this ministry?
Raising the Standard.
So we thank you for tuning in to WCNO for the program. And as we say, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And we've been so blessed with some people that were willing to step to the plate and offer some finances to help us to carry out these weeks so we can go on. And so we won't just be on for half an hour. As Margie mentioned last week, we're going to be on for an hour every week like we've done for 21-plus years on WCNO. So we're glad you're tuned in, and we trust you'll be blessed with what we hear, not about us, but about what we're going to talk about, and it's the Word of God. As we do, we trust His Word. We know that we'll have the success that He would have us to have. So we have to walk by faith, don't we? And that's the way it has to be. So, Pastor Don, you want to mention a little bit about our meetings and all?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I want to say hello to everyone. Glad we're back.
We had a good trip.
We took a little trip to Jacksonville to see our children, but we're back. And today we will have our Shabbat service at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
this afternoon at the Alliance Church, and that's at 445 Southeast, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Osceola Street. So if you'd like to come and celebrate with us Shabbat, that's where we'll be at 2 p.m.
Amen.
And so I'll give our phone number if you'd like to give us a telephone call. It's area code 772-285-7007. Amen.
Amen. So we're glad we got Sister Margie here with us again today. So she always has some good things to add to what we're going to talk about. So we'll look into this. And, you know, I was thinking about this during the week as we were reading some scripture at home and about hope. And I looked it up today. Hope is mentioned in the Bible over 140 times. So it must be pretty important. You know, it's just verse after verse after verse. So where I'd like to go to start with, I want to go to Proverbs chapter 13, look at one key verse, and then we're going to go with this. Amen? And we'll see what God wants to let us know here today about His hope. Remember, hope is always in the future. It's always something we're looking forward to. I'm reminded of Hebrews 11:1. What does it say there? Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we don't see it physically, maybe, but in the spirit realm, we see these things. And even think about the resurrection. One day we're going to see that. We're going to, if we don't die, we'll be caught off this earth. If we would die, we'll be resurrected one day. And so, you know, that's the hope, the blessed hope that we have in us. And so we're glad to be here with you. As we say, we hope you can stay tuned in. We do offer CDs. If you missed part of the program and you'd like to listen to it again, it's available. All we ask you to do is just ask God what He'd have you to give to the program. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. And the ministry name is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And you tell us what you would like to have, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you, okay? Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about hope here, Pastor Donna and Margie.
Amen.
So over in Proverbs chapter 13, this is the first thing I looked at here today when I started thinking about this, and I was thinking about it during the week. Look at verse 12. I like this. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart, what? Sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So the word deferred there means what? If it's held back or slow coming, it's going to what? It's going to make the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So I went to my Webster's 1828 Webster Dictionary this morning, and there's a lot of definitions in there, but one that really caught my eye, and I'm just going to share that part of it with you, and you'll see what we're talking about what it means. This word hope, this is what it said in the dictionary. Hope differs from wish and desire. It's different than a wish or a desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining a good desired purpose that we want or the possibility of possessing it.
Amen.
So that's what hope is.
Amen.
And so we have a lot of hope. So I got some scriptures here I've been looking at. Now, we already quoted Hebrews 11:1, and we're in Proverbs 13:12. But let's just look at a couple of things here. Let's go over to the book of Jeremiah. We'll just kind of take it through the Bible here. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. And then we'll get over in the New Testament here in a moment. But it's all through the First Covenant, and it's all through the New Covenant. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jeremiah 17, and I'm going to look at verse 13 all by itself. Now listen to this. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of what? Of living waters. Isn't that an interesting thought?
Mm-hmm.
The hope of Israel. The hope of Israel.
Thank you.
Now, we've taught on this in the past, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but this is an interesting verse. It says that they shall, I'll read it again. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. If you remember, when Jesus was in his ministry on the earth, they brought a woman before him that they said had committed adultery. And all these men accused her.
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah, and I was just wondering why in the world. It was just, you know, she was the only one. Where was the man that was involved with this? But anyway, it was her, and they were wanting Jesus to really condemn her. So, says over there that he knelt down and wrote on the sand, and each one of those men that were there, one by one, they got up and left because he said, if you have not sinned, well, then you be the one to cast the first stone, is what he's basically telling them. And so one by one, they got up, starting with the oldest one, and they all left one by one. And at the end, there was no one there. And so Jesus asked her, where's your accuser? She says, there is none. He says, neither do I accuse you. So it's his mercy. So
they forsake Jesus, didn't
That's
they?
That's right. And so I believe he wrote their names in the sand. This is what this is. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And it tells you up here, the Lord is the hope of Israel. He's our hope.
He's our hope.
And he's our hope.
That have, I believe that could have a double meaning.
Because sure could.
What about the nations? It talks about the nations that forsake the Lord.
That's right.
That forsake Israel, mm-hmm. Israel, it says, O Lord, hope of Israel, all that forsake thee.
That's
and
right.
There's many nations that are forsaking
right
Israel.
Right now, oh yeah.
And amen. But thank God for our president that we are
supporting Israel.
Them, and we believe what the Bible says about Israel.
Yeah. A lot of presidents talk about moving our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, all these different presidents. But here, President Trump, he got it done.
He
didn't even have to put a building up. The building was already there.
That's right.
So he got it done, amen.
So he'll get the wall done, too.
That's right. All right. Now we're going to go into the New Testament now. I want to go over to Acts now. Let's go to Acts. We're talking about hope.
We need to pray for our president.
Sure do.
We really do.
Sure do.
All the time, every day.
We want to go to Acts chapter 23 is where I'm wanting to go. I pray I wrote all that down. I did it pretty quick, but let's pray I wrote it all down where I wanted to go. Chapter 23.
No, that's why we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs those two that believe and trust in him. And
that's right.
We need to stand alongside. our president.
So let's look at verse 6 here in chapter 23 of the book of Acts. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope." Here you go. Of the hope. And what's the hope here? And resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. So they were questioning him about the hope he had about the resurrection. Well, we know he said it was going to come to pass, and so did the Lord. So it will come to pass, won't it?
Yes.
So we have to think about it. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. This is one of the key ones. Romans chapter 8. I love the book of Romans. And I'm going to start reading in verse 22. We'll read a couple of three verses here. And you think about this word hope as I read through this with you. And think about the hope that we have. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I like that definition in Webster's 1828. It's different than a wish or a desire. So we read that definition. All right, I'm going to start in verse 22 of Romans 8. He says, Paul says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." What's they waiting for? They're waiting for the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, we've been redeemed. I'm sitting here redeemed with the Lord and all of us here, but we're not totally redeemed until our body's changed.
Amen.
That's what, and so the earth is waiting for that also. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit." The word "to wit" in the King James means to know, the redemption, what? Of our body. Now let's go on. "For we are saved by" what? "By hope." Now, this is an interesting thought. We're saved by hope. Now, we believe in our heart we're saved, but we can't see it. Can you touch it with your hands? When the Lord came, I don't remember. I couldn't do it, but the Lord touched my heart and spoke to me, and so I bowed my knee and asked him to come into my life. So the hope that I have is one day when Yeshua comes back, he's going to either take me out of my grave if I would die, or if not, he's going to catch me off the earth, and this is all part of the resurrection. This is the hope, all right? "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen," remember, "is not hope, is it? For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" If I can see it, there's no need to hope for it because you can see it.
Amen.
So it's always the unknown. So like we said, what does it say in Hebrews 11:1? Faith, now faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now let's go on, verse 25. "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So we don't see it, but we're waiting with patience. Right now, we're waiting, aren't we? I've been waiting for 35 years, almost going on 36 years now. But I'm still here, and Jesus hasn't come back yet. Verse 26 now. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be what uttered." And so these are some powerful verses right here. So we have to remember that if we can see something, we don't have to hope for it, do we?
Right.
Can you think back when you were a kid? I remember thinking back when I was a kid, and before Christmas, you know, and I had something that I wanted. And I can remember one year I wanted a new baseball glove. I wanted it so bad. And I showed my dad the one in the store downtown when we lived in Santa Cruz, California, that I'd like to have. And so there was a hope that I told him I'd like to have that. Well, I know that we were kind of on a limited income at that time with my dad and all that. But I had a hope that it would be there under the Christmas tree on Christmas Day. And so I hoped and I hoped and I hoped. And so one day on Christmas Day, there was a box. I opened it up, and it was that ball glove that was in the window. So see, my hope then was manifested, so I didn't need hope anymore because I could see it. Amen. In fact, I found out later that my dad took a part-time job to pay for that ball glove because he couldn't pay for it otherwise. So see what happens? When there's some desire there, and God knows that you want something, and if it's not something if it's something beneficial to you, well, then he's going to see that you get it.
Amen.
So my hope came to pass. And we probably all had an experience with that about something that was given to us, or we were hoping for something or whatever. Amen? I remember when when I proposed to my wife. Hadn't seen her for over 4 years. And so when we went out and had something to eat after I got off the plane with her, when she got off the plane, and I had hope in my heart. I knew as soon as I saw her, because I heard this ring through my spirit, man, that she's going to be your wife. Well, I was hoping in my heart from that moment to the, for the rest of the day, that she was going to marry me, because I knew I wanted to marry her. So I didn't know if she was going to say yes or no, because we hadn't seen each other for so long. But the hope was there. So when I asked her and she said yes, well, then my hope, I didn't need hope anymore, because it was going to be there. It existed. So hope is important.
Yes.
You know? So let's I'm going to read this definition again. This is pretty well explains it, this hope. It differs from a wish or a desire, see? In this, how? That it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired for the possibility of what possessing it. So I wanted her, I wanted to possess her. I wanted her to be my wife the rest of my life. So here we are, 57 and a half years down the road, and she's still my wife.
Yes.
So that was a hope that I wanted. And you, both of you could probably come up with something as well that you'd hope for, and it came to pass. Amen? So let's move on now. I read those scriptures. I want to go over to Hebrews chapter 6 now. This was written to the Jewish people directly, I think, by the Apostle Paul. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. I love the book of Hebrews. Don't you like that? Love this book? Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you, Lord Yeshua. Maso kororoko sandanama mekoroko sambrebeka sandanaba.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We love your holy word. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, to get a little clarity here, we need to back up. I want to set a little... read the text here so we don't get a miscontext of what God's trying to tell us. Amen? Where would I want to go here in chapter 6? Yeah, let's start in verse 11. And it says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope." Hear this? Hope, what? Unto the end, what? Of your salvation. That's what he's talking about. "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit," what? "The promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying," surely, this is out of the first covenant, "surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he what? He obtained the promise. And it was a ways off. And if you study the scriptures, when God told Abraham to go to the, he left the Ur of the Chaldees and went over there, he was there 12 or 13 years before God spoke to him again. So he had to have patience, didn't he?
Yes.
Now, verse 16, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." Today, people shake a hand, don't they? Huh? They
mm-hmm.
shake a hand, supposed to confirm something. Now, here's the key part now. "Wherein, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath." Not only an oath, but a promise. Huh?
Yes.
Now, that by two, what's the word immutable mean? It means unchangeable. By two unchangeable things, he made this promise. Verse 18, "That by two immutable things in which it was possible for God to," it was not possible, I'm sorry, let me read it again. "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie," is he a man he can lie? The Bible says no. "We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us," to run this race together with the Lord. Amen. Now, verse 19, "Which hope we have," what? "As an anchor of our soul." What? We have hope that one day we're going to be with him forever. That's our hope. "Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into unto that within the veil." We know that's Yeshua. Amen?
Amen.
It's all about him. So there's your hope. And then it says, "Whether the forerunner is for us entered in, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Isn't that wonderful? So we have, now those are some key scriptures right there.
Amen.
About this thing called a hope. And it's so important that we might understand what God's wanting us to know about all this. Now, another place I thought about, we're going to have to back up. I think it's in Colossians. Let's go back to the book of Colossians. It's right after the Philippians. And I think it's in chapter 1. If I wrote that down right, yes, it's right. Amen. And we quote this all the time, and I never thought about where it was at until this morning when I was looking this up. All right, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." See, the Jews for a long time thought it was only going to be the Jews that were going to be in the kingdom of God. But it was all revealed through the first covenant as well. Places God told them they were going to be a witness to the Gentiles. Well, right here, you see, it was a mystery. of this mystery among the Gentiles, well, that they were going to be in the kingdom of God, and they accepted Yeshua, which is Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. Now, we quote that a lot, the hope of glory that's within us. That's what we want to reveal to people out into the world, the hope of glory that's in us. He says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Huh? I think it's amazing. So that's a good one. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because we have a hope that he's going to come back one day, right? And we're getting awful close to that time.
Yes.
You look at all the signs, boy, we're really getting close, I tell you. Now let's read something here in Philippians chapter 3. Paul had a hope. You know, here he was a Pharisee. He knew the Torah. And remember, he persecuted Christians for a long time till he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and had that experience with him and was filled with the Holy Ghost and all that. And so I'm going to start in verse 9 and read a few verses here. And Paul says, and be found in him, who's the him? In Yeshua, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the what? The law, the legalism of the law, the Torah is what he's talking about. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what he was beaten and flogged and put in jail for, because he continued to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. That was his hope, that he was going to be there one day as well. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's his whole hope. We should have that hope.
Yes.
That if we would die, we know we should have a hope and know that we're going to be resurrected one day. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. See, he apprehended me one day on the road. He's apprehended all of us at one point in time to come to the Lord. And then verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Our life gets changed when we come to the Messiah, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's looking down the road. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in what? In Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It's amazing. I love it.
Yes.
I was thinking of another verse here. I think it's in Colossians.
Okay.
See if I can find it. I didn't write this one down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You talk about hope. While you're looking for that, I was just thinking about, too, you know, the Israel, the Jewish people are looking for the Messiah.
That's right.
And they have a hope of that he's going to come.
Absolutely.
But they don't know that, you know, it was Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah.
They don't believe that, do they?
They don't believe that, and they're still looking for their Messiah. So they have a hope there, but, you know, their hope is, what good is it? Because he's already come.
That's right.
He's already come in the flesh, and he's going to come again for those who are believers in him. And, of course, we know that there are many Jewish people that do believe, and we know there's many Messianic congregations in Israel and in Jerusalem that do believe. There are many believers, and I believe more and more are coming to the Lord. So there's a hope there as well.
That's right.
You know, there's all kinds of hope that we're hoping for. You know, I have some hope, things I'm hoping for. I'm sure you out there also have some things that you may be hoping for. But we got to hang in there and continue to hope.
You're hoping for complete restoration with your health.
I'm hoping for complete healing with my health.
I'm still on my way. I haven't completely got there, but I'm hoping for that for myself too.
Amen.
That's right. And so we have to continue to hope, because without... And, you know, if you're going to have hope, you have to be able to trust.
That's right.
And you have to be able to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you read, without faith, you have to have faith. Faith in God and faith that what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Did you find what you're looking for
yet? Well, I'm just going to quote what it is. Remember when Paul said, he said, I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling.
Fear and trembling.
Now, that doesn't mean he's going to work his way into the kingdom of God, but he wanted to fulfill everything that God asked him to do. He didn't want to miss one element that God asked him to do. He wanted to fulfill the purpose that God had for him on the earth. And so that's what we should all have.
Sure.
That we would want to work out our salvation, the things that God's given us to do for him. And we give him all the glory for it anyhow,
yes.
Don't we? It's all about him. It's not about us. And so we just thank the Lord that we have the privilege to do that. Hallelujah.
So when we're praying for something, that's also hope, because you're
absolutely
praying for something to happen, or whatever you may be praying for, that there's a hope there.
That's it.
That you might receive that. And I think about what it says over in Hebrews 11, where you were before.
Yeah.
That without faith, it's impossible to please him, to please God.
Mm.
For he that cometh to God must believe. So believing is part of that hope. Believe that he is, and that he is, what? A rewarder
of them that
diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm.
Then it talks about all the different people who walked in faith. You know, Abraham, Noah, many of them, Jacob, all down through time. Sarah, you know. Just so many of them, so many examples. Rahab, you know, so many examples of people who walked in faith and hope. Rahab, I think, you know, she knew that that city was going to be destroyed.
She sure did.
So she had hope that her family would be saved.
Yeah.
And so they gave them a word, and they were able to.
She obeyed what the Lord said.
She obeyed everything was said, and so, you know, she was saved. So
that's the
hope that she had. It came to pass. Amen.
That's right.
Glory to God.
So, you know, we've talked a lot on this program because we do a lot with the Jewish roots and the appointed times that come up. And the next thing that we have is not an appointed time, but it's something in history that God remembered. We're coming up on Purim here in February. And the events that happened there, God remembered all that. And so, I'm thinking about all the appointed times that God put in place to teach us about the Messiah. And that's our hope. That's the hope of glory in us when we believe all that. You got something there, Margie?
Where you were looking for working out your own salvation.
Yeah.
Philippians 2.
Okay, I was right there. I went right past it. Let's look at it. 2 what?
2:12.
Okay, see, it's on the bottom of this next
12.
One.
That's right. Well, you mentioned Purim, and we always celebrate that. And that is a time that, you know, it talks about Esther and Mordecai. There were Jewish people that were in captivity,
right?
In where Persia, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
And they had to really trust in the Lord. And you know, Mordecai, they prayed, and he was outside that gate day and night. You know, praying for Esther.
Mm-hmm.
Hadassah is her Hebrew name, but they had that hope. And you know, I'm sure she even had the hope of becoming the queen. She
mm-hmm.
came in there and she did all the things that they told her to do, and so she had a hope. She knew that there was a possibility.
That's right.
I mean, you know, she would have been one out of who knows how many they had there that they were preparing to be the queen.
There was a lot of them that came before the king.
So she had that hope as well.
So
she became, it happened.
Well, she had the favor of the Lord, didn't she?
She had the favor of the Lord. Mordecai had the favor of the Lord, even though he was hated by Haman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was hated by him.
That's right.
And he tried to kill them. He was going to kill all the Jews. But, you know, they all had hope, and they did what God told them to do. And what did they have? They had the victory, didn't
they? That's right. They won. Absolutely. That verse that we just found out, that Margie found, is in Philippians 2:12, where it says, "Wherefore, my beloved," this is Paul speaking, "as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Then he says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I like the next verse. "For it is God which worketh in you both." Both means two things. What? To will, first of all, and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
So if we want to serve the Lord, there's got to be a hope in our heart that one day that we're going to be in the kingdom of God and all that. And so it should be a great hope that keeps us going. The hope, the hope, the hope, the hope all the time. Amen? And as we said, hope is always in the future. It's not right now. It's always in the future. So we hope, don't we?
Amen.
Paul, all his life, he was hoping for the Jesus to come back. Well, he talked about it, but he didn't come back during his lifetime, did he? But where he's at now, you know, his spirit and soul are with the Lord. His body's still in the grave. We know that because the resurrection hasn't come. But he knows now the hope of glory that he was wanting to find out about is right there with him right now, which is the Messiah. It's amazing when you think about it. Amen?
Amen.
I love it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Right, Margie, what do you have there? I know you see you got some things and notes to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Hope is so important.
It is.
Yeah. Well, before Margie says something, I just want to mention that those of you who are watching on Facebook now or tonight or will be watching, this program will be on Saturday at 12 o'clock on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Okay.
We tape it right down here at the radio station here where are we? In Palm City.
Palm City.
Palm City. And so, you know, you can listen to this again. This is, and then we will have our Shabbat on Saturday at 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock at the Alliance Church. So, and then we let people know that. If you're watching it now, we won't have Shabbat today, but we will have it tomorrow on Saturday afternoon. So, Margie, what do you have to share, my dear?
Well, praise the Lord. Hope is very, very important to a Christian.
Sure is.
To go through their walk with the Father.
Our whole walk, yeah.
Yes. And I also looked up the word hope in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it says a confident expectation.
There you go.
To cherish a desire of good with some expectation of obtaining it.
You got it.
Or a belief that it is obtainable.
That's right.
And with this definition, the scripture Mark 10:26-27, where the disciples asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God.
That's right. Hallelujah.
For with God,
all things are possible. That's right. That's good.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. That's where our hope comes in. It's possible with God.
Amen.
All things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to have hope. In Psalms 145:16-19, thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth.
In truth.
He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. So this is showing the hope. We can hope in his promises.
That's right.
His word is true.
That's right.
So I believe and trust him when he says in verse 19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him.
Hallelujah.
I am learning to put my trust in God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that you that are listening are doing that also. God said it.
I believe it, don't I?
I believe it.
That's right.
And that settles it.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Psalms 146:5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Thank you, Father. In Corinthians 13, I'd like to go.
Ooh, the love chapter, huh?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father.
Charity chapter.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm.
And 13.
Thank you.
And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Yes.
Charity is love, and God is love. So I was kind of looking into faith, hope, and charity. And in Hebrews 11, where you had gone, Pastor Gene, Hebrews 11, 6.
Okay, we read that one too. Go ahead and read it again.
Yes, thank you, Father. But without faith, it is impossible to please God.
You got it, yeah.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
That's and a good verse, boy.
Yes, yes. Hebrews 12, if we could turn there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Wow.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Thank you, Lord.
As I was sharing last week about having those backpacks, and you know, it can really encumber us, and where we wouldn't be free.
Mm-hmm.
So here it says, here, don't let the weightiness of circumstances and sin, don't let that overrun us. And I'm learning that I've not arrived at anything, but I'm learning.
Yes, we are.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
And verse 2, looking unto Jesus,
the author
and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Faith brings us to Yeshua. By faith, we walk in obedience to Christ.
That's right.
Faith is closely related to hope.
It sure is.
So we look at the word hope. Hope keeps us moving forward.
Absolutely.
And Pastor Gene, you shared that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we imagine life without hope?
Nope.
I can't.
We're all hoping for something, aren't we?
We are all hoping for a loved one,
our families,
someone in our families, something in our life that we need to extract. I have the hope that the Father is going to remove some of these things from my life. Thank you, Father. Hope fuels us.
Yep.
To face impossible challenges.
Ooh, I like that, yeah.
Hope is a special gift given by God through his grace to approach the most difficult circumstances.
Yes, Lord.
Hope holds on to the promise of a Savior who is coming to set him free. In Colossians, Pastor Gene, you read that, Colossians 1.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you still have that.
Was it one? I had 127.
Yes, I have one, and I had 126.
Okay, it's on the verse before. It's fine.
Do you?
Go ahead and read it. It's important.
Yes, it's important.
Every verse is important.
If you get to that before I do, okay.
Okay, 126?
Yes, 126.
Okay, go ahead.
And 127. Okay. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, you and me.
Hallelujah.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you,
the hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
I love it. Don't you love it? Yes, right.
A mystery hidden in times past, but now has been revealed.
Yes.
By God, the former mystery, now understood.
Yes.
Is that Christ in us is the hope of our is our future glory or our glory to come? Praise the Lord. The confident, the expectant, joyful knowledge.
Expectation.
That we are being changed by God and will one day see Christ face to face.
That's right.
I'm so grateful that he's changing me.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself.
Yes.
Even as he is pure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful for that changing, that correction. He loves us, and I am waiting for that day.
Amen. That's our hope.
Amen.
That hope one day that we're going to be called home to live in his kingdom, not for 100 years or 1,000 years or 10,000 years, but for eternity. It will never change. Isn't it amazing just to think about it? That's our hope. That's the whole hope that we have.
Praise the Lord.
To walk it out with him. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
In fact, I was thinking about over here in Hebrews chapter. You done there, Marge? You got something else?
Yes,
I'm thinking here what it says here in Hebrews chapter 1. It says in the very first verse says, God who at sundry times, that means in different times, in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. We have it too, don't we?
Yes.
Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. It's incredible.
Yes. When
you think of what happened with Christ Jesus when he came to this earth, and he did this for all of us.
Yes.
You know? And you know, we were back there in Philippians. Let's back over there for a moment. We read that, didn't we? Yeah. That part I was looking at, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Chapter 2 of Philippians. Listen to this. Verse 4 says, let not every man on his own let not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, listen to this. Whom, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. See, we shouldn't be concerned about our reputation. Who cares? If we're in right standing with God, it doesn't matter what people think.
Amen.
And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then he walked this earth as a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. This is going to be on the Day of Atonement, by the way, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And then God the Father. It's amazing when I think about it, you know, what we have. And the book of Revelation shows us what's going to happen at the very end, and this hope that we've been hanging on to, you know, it'll be manifested one day, and it will no longer be hope because we'll be able to see the kingdom of God. Now, right now, we think about it, we can study about it, we can pray about it, and we want to make sure our heart's right all the time. That way we'll know if anything would happen, if we would die, no matter what, or if he would come back and catch us away, that we would be in the right place. And that's what God wants us to know. And so hope is important. And so we're looking for something that we might possess it. And that's what we want. We possess the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus one time said, he says, the kingdom of God comes without observation because you can't see it. You and I, you three of us sitting here, the kingdom of God is within us. You can't see it, can you? But we can manifest it and talk about it, but you can't literally see it. It's a hope. One day we're going to see what it's going to be all about. We'll see it actually how God's got it planned, how he's going to do the whole thing. We're going to see that new temple that's going to be built. You know, we'll see that. Right now, it's just a hope. You read about it and you think about it, but it's one day it's going to be the real thing. It won't be hope anymore. We're going to be able to see it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we'll get to see him. We'll get to see him face to face.
Face to face.
That's right. And it says we'll be just like him. Glory be to God. So we got so much to think about with the word hope. As I mentioned, it's mentioned over 140 times in the Bible. So it must be a pretty important word.
Yes.
It's all through the Psalms. It's everywhere. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. I was thinking about when we got married, I wanted a baby real bad. I was hoping for a baby, right?
Well, you sure were.
And there may be somebody out there that's hoping for a baby.
Yeah.
Also, you know, we'd like to see that baby, but, you know, we know the baby's there, but you really can't see the baby until the baby comes out. Then you can see it. Then you fulfill it, and you see that hope. You see that child. And a lot of mothers may out there may be hoping to have a baby, and they haven't gotten pregnant yet. But, you know, just keep hoping, because you never know when it's going to manifest. And then it won't be long, and you'll have that baby in your arms. Amen?
That's right. That's right.
So there's a lot of things people hope for. And you mentioned being healed, people that are sick, yes, or people that are...
They hope to be healed, yes.
Right, or there's many things that we could hope for.
That's right.
In our life that we need, that we may need, you know, and like that healing. I have that hope for that healing, but trusting the Lord and believing and having the faith and stand,
right,
believing for that manifestation of that healing,
mm-hmm,
along with many other people. And I see some of the people that are coming on Facebook. It's good to see you, Madeline. And those others that we know, I see Loretta and other people. So we just thank Christina. So we just bless you, and we just thank the Lord that this message will bring more hope.
Yes. More hope.
Amen.
We're not hopeless, are we?
Hallelujah. No.
She's hoping for a new house.
That's right, a new house.
So that's going to come to pass. It's going to manifest.
Got a new baby coming, and they want a new house.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
That's all hope. Amen.
So we think about, you know, like even they were waiting for the hope of a child, the Messiah, to come.
That's right.
And when Mary, you know, received that hope, she didn't know, but she knew, and she heard the word, and she heard the word of Elizabeth. That I'm sure her hope even grew even more day by day, you know, as her pregnancy grew, and she could tell it. I was, hey, I'm growing a baby in here, and it's the Messiah. It's my Savior. That was very hard for people to understand at that time.
Yeah.
And even people today have a hard time understanding, you know, how
a virgin birth,
the Holy Ghost come upon her, and she became pregnant.
That's right.
You know, she was carrying her Savior in her, right at that time, in her body. Hallelujah. And who thinks of a baby as being a Savior? But he was, and many prophecies were spoken over him and over, mm-hmm, the what would happen. And, you know, even Anna and in the temple, there were prophecies spoken. Her cousin Elizabeth spoke prophecies. The angel visited them.
Yeah.
So, you know, so as the Jewish people are still believing for a Messiah, they need to know, they need to have understand the revelation that he's already come.
That's right.
In the flesh.
So God's hope for them is that they're going to realize that he is the hope of glory, and they've overlooked it. They missed the first visitation. But I pray that thousands of them, millions of them, will not miss the second visitation when he comes back to the earth for them. That's what I'm praying for. So, you know, hope is so important. It really is. And we have to hang on to that. That's the hope that we have in our heart. Of everything that God, everything he said in this book is going to come to pass. I don't doubt one thing. If he said it, I believe it.
Amen. You know, and it's difficult for them to believe that he is the Son of God, and he is God.
That's right.
The people don't understand, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So it's not something that we have to believe. It's something you believe, and you have faith.
To believe
it. And you trust what this word says, what the Bible says.
Amen.
You can't try to figure things out with your reasoning mind.
Yeah.
Because you just have to believe. You have to believe what God's word says, and trust in it, and just go on, and just, you know, trust God.
That's right.
Because he's already come.
But you think about, you know, Mary was chosen to bring the Messiah into the world. Can you imagine how many women in that day would like to have the privilege to give birth to the Messiah? Mm-hmm. That was a big request they'd like to have. So they had some hope in their heart, too. But God chose little Mary for some reason, okay? And so it's amazing what he chose her for a reason. And it's probably because of her heart, because she said she, you know, she didn't question anything. She just pondered those things that God had said to her, and so she believed it, and so she went on. And so it's amazing when I think about the faith that she must have had, and she must have really had a deep, deep hope in her heart when the angel spoke to her. Hey, I'm gonna give birth to this Messiah, and I'm gonna have the privilege to raise him from a baby up until he becomes of age to know the Word of God. You know.
Amen.
So, you know, because a Jewish boy, by the time he was 13 years old, he was supposed to know the Torah. And so we found out there in the Gospels that Jesus was in the temple one time. Well, he was 12 years old then, and he was confounding the scribes and the lawyers and all the wise people of the answers that he had, because he wasn't just a man. He was God. You know, if you read the writings by Josephus, you know, he was a man that lived during the time that Christ was on the earth. And one comment he made in there, he says, this man, Jesus, he was more than a man. He was more than a man.
Yes.
He was more than a man.
Yes.
He was all man. He was all God. And so he's the one that came, and now he gives us the hope of glory that's resting in us. We all have him in our lives. Bossa, Moan, did I get excited thinking about it.
Hallelujah.
The hope of glory is residing in me and you and Margie and Pastor Jonathan and everybody that believes in Christ. He's the hope of glory is in us. And like I said, Jesus said one time that the kingdom comes without observation. It comes into our life. Can you see it? You can't see it, but we know it's there because God said it's there. Amen. And so we're so blessed to know that. And so hope is so important. And we read that scripture over there in Proverbs about how hope deferred brings a sickness.
Yes.
You know, if it takes too long, it's going to make us sick. But when it comes, how we rejoice, you know, when that hope comes and manifests. Like I was in the hospital, and I didn't know if I was going to get out of there alive or not. And I kind of faded away for a while. Wasn't looking to the Lord enough. And when I turned around and started looking to him more so, well, then that hope came into me that I was going to get out of the hospital and I was going to get back to some resemblance of my life like I was before. And I'm there now. I can drive. I can walk.
Amen.
I can do the things that God wants me to do. And when they got me out of bed after 4 months, I couldn't even stand up without two people holding me up because my legs were like rubber. So I had a hope. And that hope was finally manifested, and I shout and I give him all the glory, all the praise, and all the credit, because he's the one that did all the work. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we have to remember, the hope. So don't give up on the hope that you have. Donna mentioned a couple of things, you know. And so people, all people, but especially believers, should have a hope of their salvation and know it's there, but they also have a hope of what God's wanting to do with them and to look forward to the things that he's called them to do and have that hope. And then when you do it, you're fulfilled. I know Jonathan's sitting here with us, Pastor Jonathan. Well, you know, he's being fulfilled because he's fulfilling the hope that God put in his heart to do. And so what's he do? He ministers to people's hearts. And that's what we need to do. And so the hope is being released. See, we need to release the hope that there's always a hope. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's what we got to remember. So we got to give that to people, that faith, to trust God and to know that the hope that we have in our heart is that one day we will be with him forever.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So if there's somebody listening here today and you've never asked the hope of glory to come into your life, all you have to do, it doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what color your skin is or your ethnic background, all you have to do is open your heart to him, and the hope of glory will come in and reside in you, and he'll change your life. You know, it might turn some things upside down. The Holy Ghost is pretty good about coming in and dumping out all the old furniture, and he's going to come in and redecorate, and you're going to be a different person. But the hope is there, and when he comes, you'll know it. When we got saved, I knew it the moment I got saved that I was not the same person I was a minute before that. And so this is it. That's the hope. And so now we're walking in this hope, knowing one day that we're going to see the hope of glory. And the Bible says in John, 1 John, what? That we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to be just like him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I get excited about that.
Amen. Amen.
All right, Pastor Dunn, we've got about 4 minutes. You got something else you want to share?
Yeah, I was just thinking about the
make that decision
to
today.
The anchor of our soul.
Yeah,
Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, right? Yeah. It says that in verse 18 that by two immutable things in which was impossible for God to lie. See, he's not a man that he should lie.
He gave a promise and an oath, didn't he? Yes.
We might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Yes.
Which hope we have as an anchor.
Of our soul. Whoa.
Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. See, the veil has been torn.
That's right.
We can go.
He is the veil.
The veil has been torn.
He is, yeah.
and the veil no longer is there. We can enter in. We don't have to be just the high priest who goes in once a year.
Amen.
The, verse 20 says, whether with the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. He That's entered right. first, didn't he?
Sure did.
Amen. And a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A lot of people don't understand that teaching on Melchizedek. That'd be a good teaching for us to do sometime.
That's right.
But he went, he's behind the veil, and the veil is no longer there. And so we can enter in freely with the hope that we have and the promise that God is not a liar and that he promised us many things. And so we can, we need to believe it, trust in it, hope in it, and have the faith to have our faith to believe what's going to happen when we have the when we have God in the right perspective.
That's right.
Maybe that's the right word. I don't know. But we have that hope. That hope is an anchor for our soul. Amen.
And I think about when that, that temple, when that curtain was ripped from top to bottom,
mm-hmm.
it opened it all up. Well, Jesus, he died and suffered on a cross to open that veil so
that's
that
right.
we could go in there anytime we want.
And that veil was torn at the same time that he said it is finished.
It's finished.
He is finished. No more priesthood from the Levitical priesthood would be there. And he wasn't from the Levitical priesthood anyway.
Nope.
Amen. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be on this program every Saturday at 12 o'clock, from 12 to 1 o'clock. And we hope that you will tune in again next week. And it's also going to be on Facebook, so you can go back and listen to the whole thing on Facebook. That's at Gene-Donna Hilton. And we just thank the Lord for you. And if you the Lord lays it on your heart to help us finance this program on WCNO, please give us a call. We would really appreciate that, and pray for us, and just call. And Pastor Sheen loves to talk to people, and so do I. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. And we will be having Shabbat this afternoon at 2 p.m. That's Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. So come by. It's at the Alliance Church here in Stuart, Florida, at 445 Southeast Osceola Street.
Yes.
Right near the hospital.
Yes.
So Amen.
As we close, I want to mention again, if you've never asked Christ
Amen.
To come into your life, it's the most important decision you'll ever make. It's a matter of life and death. You choose. He's put it all in place for us to receive it. So just receive him today, and things will never be the same in your life. You can start going to church and reading your Bible, and you're going to find out how your life will change. The things that you thought about that were really wrong, you're going to find out how to think the right way, which is according to
Amen.
God's word. So as we close,
say,
we tell you every week as we close,
look
whatever
up,
you do, look up,
for your
because
redemption
draweth nigh. Amen.
We say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest. God bless you all. Amen.
We are raising the standard.
Speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember, Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.